Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Come on, Dave, sing along. Are you ready? Patrick Kane standing by. MB Financial Bank, MB means business. I'll have a listener question in a second. Send your question to Steve Cochran Show. Is that the email? Steve Cochran Show at WGNRadio.com.
Yes.
Steve, is that the email?
Yeah.
You don't sound too confident.
I've never opened an email on that account. Not a single one. I don't even know the password. But send it to Steve Cochran Show, WGNRadio.com, and we'll get the questions, and we have one to ask.
If
Patrick
it's the
Kane,
right address.
Patrick Kane joins us now. Congratulations, man, on a phenomenal season.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
How are you, man?
I'm pretty good. How's everything going?
We're doing fine. Was your dad there for the last game?
In Chicago?
Yeah. Because I know he made a bunch of games this year.
He probably makes about, I would say, 20 to 25 of the 40 games. So it comes to a lot.
Pretty serious family commitment.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. He doesn't like to fly either, so he drives in from Buffalo. It's about eight and a half hour drive, and you know, sometimes he's coming in the day of the game and leaving the next day. So he's that's what him and my mom love to do. I know my dad has a big passion for it, and he says, you know, when he's at the United Center and just watching games, he's in his glory. So it's fun to have him around.
Yeah, pretty cool to have that kind of family support. And I grew up in upstate New York. I've never made it from upstate New York to Chicago in 8.5 hours. How fast is your father driving?
Well, I don't know if Buffalo is considered upstate New York. It's more of western New York.
Yeah, okay.
So.
Okay.
He actually could probably make it a little quicker if he drove faster, but he takes his time. And they make a few stops along the way and kind of make a little trip out of it every time. But when you're doing it 20, 25 times a year, it's kind of, you think it would get old, but they love doing it, and they love coming to watch the Blackhawks.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool after a game at this point in your career when you can look up and mom and dad are watching. That's pretty great. Listen, I know you might get bored with your own success, but you don't mind if we wallow in it for a second. Kaner's 46 goals, most by a Hawk since Jeremy Roenick scored the same number in 93-94. Last Hawks player to lead the league in points was Makita back in 67-68. Last one to reach 100-point plateau was JR. That was in 93-94, and there's over been seven individual seasons in Hawks history that have more than 106 points. You know, we all remember the streak, but did you feel like you were in a special sort of zone for most of the year?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of like every season, you know, you try to stay as consistent as possible, and you're going to have your ups and downs along the way, but you know, I think there was probably more stretches this year. You know, you mentioned the 26-game point streak that I was more consistent. And, you know, when you're having that consistency, I guess, you're, like you said, you're kind of in a zone and you're very focused and feel confident on the ice, too. And I think that's, you know, half the battle is confidence when you have the puck and you're seeing plays and you can make things happen out there. So, you know, it was a fun year. I give a lot of credit to you know, my two Russian line mates with Anisimov and Panarin, and you know, the power play was pretty efficient this year too, which is nice to see. I think that inflates the numbers as well.
Well, here's the thing: without Panarin, what does that season look like for you? Because it seemed like every time you needed your puck on your stick, it was there. Every time you needed the right guy to pass to, he was there. I'm not taking anything away from Anisimov, but you and Panarin had something special all year long.
Yeah, he's a special player. I think there's you know, a lot of similarities in both of our games. We want to, you know, come up the ice with the puck and want to play that puck possession game. You know, want to be able to make plays. And, you know, as far as, you know, him coming into the league and being a first-year player, it's pretty amazing what he's done in his rookie season. So I've had a lot of fun with him, getting to know him. I think we mess around with each other a lot. We have a good relationship, and I think that translates on the ice as well.
Patrick, what's the significance for you of the Art Ross Trophy as the first U.S.-born player to win it?
Jim Otis Ennett's given it to you already? Dave Ennett's given it to you
already? No, they are. He's already won that.
I know.
Okay.
Waiting for the ceremony.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty special. I mean, you think of all the great American players that have played in the NHL and played hockey. It's kind of hard to believe no one's won it before. But, I think it's probably something that maybe will sink in a little bit more down the road. I think it's something as a hockey player and an offensive guy, you try to envision yourself to be able to do. So, like I said, I was fortunate and lucky this year to play with, great players and also to have the support of my teammates all season too. So it was, obviously couldn't have done it without them.
Let's go back a year. On the eve of the playoffs, you had missed 21 games. You're coming back from your injury. And I know there had to be a little apprehension awaiting that first hit when you went out on the ice against Nashville. Now fast forward to the eve of the playoffs now. How much different is this from how you felt a year ago going in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Well, I think it's totally different. You're coming into the regular season, the postseason, feeling confident about your game and confident at where it's been all season long. Last year I thought I was having a great season up until the injury, and then like you said, you missed the final 21 games of the season. It's almost like you have to teach yourself to play hockey again. So I think there was some a little bit of nervousness for that first hit, and then once you kind of get that out of the way and take a couple hits, I think it's good for yourself and good for where your game's heading. So I was happy with the way I performed in the playoffs last year, but I think it's totally different to where I'm at this year, and hoping for bigger and better things, and hopefully helping this team to do well in the playoffs, have a long stretch run again, and see what happens.
Andre, you have a question?
I do. Kaner Panarin could actually become the first Hawks player to win the Calder Trophy as the league's top rookie since you won it in 07 and 08. Do you ever tell him, you'll never be me? You got a lot of competition, dude.
You can tell him anything. He won't understand it.
I was telling him that I was 18 and 19 years old my rookie season. He's 24, so I call him the old man rookie, and he gets all upset about that. But he's a funny kid. I mean, we have, there's probably, five, six stories you could tell about him every day that would crack you up. But he's very happy, very excited to be around the rink all the time, and very focused as well.
Well, your focus has been tremendous all year long, and I know it's going to continue to be against the Blues and into the playoffs. You guys have seen these guys a bunch. You see them every year a bunch. This is a different team than last year. Does it feel the same going into tomorrow night?
I think there's similarities and differences. I think they're still kind of that big, heavy team that likes to play physical, which St. Louis has always been. I think they have probably a lot more depth than they've had in the past years, and probably a little extra motivation to get past that first round. They've been one of the best, if not the best, regular season team in the league for the past 5 years, and now you see that they haven't gotten out of the first round for a little bit here, so. I'm sure they're excited about getting that opportunity and getting that chance. And, for us, we'll try to stop them at a halt and hopefully, have a good series against them and, take it one game at a time, not get too ahead of ourselves about thinking about, back-to-back runs or anything like that. This is a tough team, one of the best teams in the league. We're going to have our hands full and get ready for that first game in St. Louis, see what happens the rest of the way.
I know you got a meeting coming up. I don't want to get you in trouble with Q. Imagine if we got Kaner bench for the first game. That wouldn't be good.
Yeah, I don't think that would be good at all.
But we have an MB Financial Bank listener question here. This is from Linda King. Says, you and Panarin have an amazing chemistry on the ice with precise passing like I've never seen. How much time do you have to spend, just the two of you, on specific passing and passes before a game or during the season?
Well, we go through, after practice, we'll always kind of do a few different drills where we're working our one-timers or different passes, moving in stride, things like that. We have a couple set passes we do in warm-ups before the game, probably about six or seven different passes to try and get us warmed up with each other, how we're going to read and react, different things like that, how we're going to accept the passes. But Not too much, actually. It's more of, I think, more of our relationship on the ice comes through, if you can believe it or not, talking to each other and trying to get a feel of each other, what they're thinking throughout that game. So he's actually had some really good ideas this year, and, I try to give him some information as well.
Yeah, and since you got two Russians on your line, how do you communicate with the two of them? Have you learned a little bit, or is it just puck is internationally translatable?
You know, he's actually, he probably has, probably understands a little more English than he probably lets on. So I can talk to him in English. I just kind of have to speak words that he understands. And, right. It's getting better throughout the year. And if there's really something that I need to say to him, he can always just translate it through an Isimov, which we probably did more towards the beginning of the season. And, now we can just talk one-on-one in English.
Have a great series, man. Keep it going, and we look forward to it. Yes, Dave?
You didn't ask him the key question you wanted to ask him.
Which one was that?
We going to see the mullet?
You know what? I think I'm going to skip the mullet this year.
That's big news. That's breaking news.
Wow.
the first time I did it, I couldn't grow a beard, so now I can grow somewhat of a beard, so... Going to skip it. Things are going good this year, so I don't really want to change too much up, to be honest with you.
Listen, dude, as old as you're getting, pretty soon your hair is going to be your problem, not facial hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Have a great time. Stay healthy.
All right. Thanks for having me, Steve.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it. That's Patrick Kane. Kaner. You look at the numbers for his season. Ridiculous. It's just tremendous.
I want the mullet.
There's a sentence you won't hear every day. I want the mullet. We have a special guest in studio. We'll meet next ahead of Bill and Wendy. Stand by for that on 720 WGN.